It's time for JT the Brick.
Make me a shirt that says, the Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders. We're 8-0 against them. We've been blowing out the donkeys 8 in a row. I repeat, 8 in a row, 4 seasons of firing their coaches. They got fired, Nathaniel Hackett, because they lost to the Raiders. By the way, that's true. They can't handle losing to the Raiders. You can't beat the Raiders, you're fired. And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
JT the Brick.
I'll say this now, and you can clip it and put it on another show. The Las Vegas Raiders need to win 3 out of 4 games combined against the Chargers and Denver. Does that make sense? The second best roster is the Raiders. By a long shot over Denver, I'm fighting off the donkey fans that think they have the greatest coach.
Sean Payton sat on that couch for a year. Must have had 1 lunch and 2 dinners, and now everybody in the Fox lot's a fan of Sean Payton.
The Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders.
By the way, that's true.
And now.
And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, we are going through hour number 2 of the show as it begins. JT with it coming off the aftermath of the Raiders' victory over the Cleveland Browns. I thought it was a lot of fun, but it was a very intense game. And a very tense game for everyone in attendance, for those who watch it on TV. I mean, it's hard to watch a game like that. Just when you think the Raiders are pulling away from the game, they fumble. Cleveland picks up a scoop and score. Then the Raiders go 3 and out, and Cleveland has a chance to win the game late. But they couldn't tie by kicking a field goal. They were down 4, which saved the Raiders, because then Deshaun Watson muffed that game multiple times, especially on that last drive. So the Raiders get a win. They go to 2-2 on the campaign. I think 2-2 is a good place to be for most people in this league. Most fans in this league at 2-2, I think, are decompressing and breathing easier that they're not 1-3 or they don't have a win this year. It's that big of a deal. Every week we talk to Sam Munson from the 33rd team. And Sam, last night's show that I hosted was all about Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh, and the fact that Bo Nix only threw for 60 yards and won on the road. I got to imagine that's the worst regular season loss of Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yeah, definitely one of them. Rough game, rough conditions. You know, it was wet, it was ugly, but it was a game they should have won, and they had chances to win. And even right at the death, you know, Rodgers did give them a chance. He brought them down the field. He covered some distance and gave them a 50-yard field goal attempt to make that happen. And 50-yard field goal attempts aren't what they used to be. You know, it's a kind of standard range now. And you look at the number of kicks that are being made from 60, let alone 50, you know, they would have been hoping, expecting that kick to go through, even in the wet conditions. And unfortunately, it didn't. And the Jets end up losing a game that, you know, they've got to win if they want to make noise this season.
Yeah, I agree with you. That could be a game that keeps them out of the wild card. What do you think's going on behind the scenes? I know you do a lot of analytics and X's and O's, and you break down film more so than the drama and the gossip of this league. But Saleh went into the press conference. Aaron Rodgers went in after him on this cadence issue where a lot of the offensive linemen were jumping off sides. That's not Rodgers' problem. That's the coach and the offensive line to clean that up.
Yeah, and I think Rodgers' comments were correct, right? Like, one way of dealing with this, Saleh's looking at it and saying, well, that's something we got to get fixed. If that's a problem, let's just stop doing it. And Rodgers is, I think, making the correct point that, no, don't stop doing it. It's been a productive part of his career for, you know, years, for decades at this stage. It works. It's good. It should be an offensive advantage. So hold people accountable when they screw up. And stop them screwing up, right? This is not an insurmountable problem. This is something that they just have to get right, get fixed. So I think, you know, the two approaches, my money would be on Rodgers' side as the smart way of doing it. Now, don't abandon something that should be an offensive advantage because you made a bunch of mistakes doing it. Fix those mistakes and continue to use it.
Sam Munson's our guest. I got a chance to watch Deshaun Watson live. Man, does he struggle. But his first drive, he was perfect. I mean, literally perfect. And I thought he was going to come into Vegas and play well the rest of the game. The Raiders without Max Crosby, Davante Adams, both teams were a mash unit. And I think the offensive line being down for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland cost him the game. What'd you see with that one?
Yeah, it did. I also thought this was one of Watson's best games in Cleveland. Every time he made a good play, he was getting let down by other teammates, and that hasn't been the case for a lot of the time there in Cleveland. A lot of the time he just hasn't played well, but the line was struggling. Every time he put a good pass in the air towards Amari Cooper. Something went wrong. The first one, Cooper was on a completely different page, just didn't see where the ball was going, let it drop harmlessly deep down the field. The second one, Watson hits an absolute bullet over the middle, right in the middle of a bunch of Raiders defenders, hits Cooper in the shoulder pads, bounces up for an interception. That was a good pass by Watson and ends up with the worst result. And then later there's that deep touchdown, which gets taken off the board by a holding call. Mm. Looked like a pretty weak holding call well. So, you know, Watson has definitely been a huge part of the problem there for the Browns, but I don't think that was the case yesterday.
Sam Munson, check out the new podcast. It's exceptional. Check the mic at the 33rd team. So a couple other games, a good bounce back game for Baker Mayfield. They had a disastrous performance against Denver. They get a pretty good opponent at home and just tear him up again. What'd you see on tape with Baker, what he was able to do with his legs and in the passing game?
Yeah, and he was absolutely in a rhythm as a passer. I mean, he was deadly accurate. The ball was absolutely where he wanted to put it. His average time to throw was only a hair over 2 seconds. That's lightning fast. That means the pass rush has no chance. So, you know, people watching that game going, where is this Eagles pass rush? Where is Jalen Carter? You have no shot at affecting the quarterback when the ball's coming out at 2 seconds on average. And it means that the secondary is getting lit up as well, because Mayfield's able to put the ball wherever he wants to pretty much right away. It's first read. It's getting it out of his hands really quickly. So tremendous bounce back game from the Bucs, who struggled a week ago, but were absolutely on it this week.
Is it fair to be critical of the Bills? Because we know they have to win at Kansas City, win at Baltimore. They have their tough games already when Miami's healthy in Miami. They got a schedule where they're always going to be tested, but that was one-sided. The Ravens had everything clicking so they could get back to 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, they got beat down on both sides of the ball. And really, for almost none of that game were they a factor. They were second best through the entire first half. There was a brief sign of life early in the second half. You know, they got a score. They got a defensive stop. And then they called that trick play. And from that moment, when that went south, when that there was a turnover on that play, that was all that momentum just disappeared up in smoke. And from that point on, it was all Baltimore again. So, yeah, look, the Bills have looked fantastic for the first three games this season, but they were absolutely destroyed on Monday night by the Ravens. And that, you know, that can happen. Baltimore did that to a lot of teams last year as well, and a lot of good teams as well. They are capable of those types of games, but that was absolutely a massive setback for Buffalo.
Sam, what am I missing in the box score? Atlanta and New Orleans combined for 50 points. Carr threw for 239, Cousins 238, so almost identical. But neither threw a touchdown, and 50 points were scored.
Yeah, it was the Falcons in particular just kept settling for field goals every step of the way. They had chances, you know, they missed some opportunities to score, particularly at the end. Kirk Cousins couldn't quite get it to Darnell Mooney on what should have been a game-winning touchdown, not a game-winning field goal. But yeah, I think it was one of those games that's kind of emblematic of 2024, right, where more and more teams are settling for field goals, where scoring is down, where explosive plays are down, and it's just harder to punch it into the end zone than it has been previously.
When I look at the box score and a little bit of the tape on Pittsburgh losing their first game of the year, Russell Wilson, as they wait for him to get healthy, and Tomlin's not very committed there, I looked at the numbers overall at Justin Fields. He 22 of 34, 312 in the game, a touchdown. He didn't have an interception, but he was sacked four times in the game. Did he miss a lot of open throws? What happened in this one?
No, again, I don't think he played particularly badly. Mm-hmm. He had the one turnover, you know, a really bad play where it went south right away. He tried to make it turn it into something. He made it worse, and then he fumbled the ball away. I think maybe it was a little bit of a harsh call. I think he might have regathered that football, and I wouldn't have given it as a turnover, but that's how it went down, and that was a huge mistake. After that, though, he gathered himself back up and started making a few big plays as well. So I thought Fields played reasonably well in that game outside of that one play, which was a really big, really high-leverage play that went against Pittsburgh.
Sam, I don't know how it's going to end as we wrap it up with the Jaguars here. Doug Peterson's getting chippy at these press conferences. Once you show a chink in the armor there and you start going back and forth with the media, and Trevor Lawrence, I'd bench him. I'd bench him for a game or so. After paying him over $200 million, they're not going to get rid of him and ruin him, but I think they don't want to bench him, because if they do and Mac Jones comes in and plays well, look what they have to deal with. How is this going to play out in Jacksonville? What's their next move?
Yeah, he's in a tough spot because on the one hand, I kind of agree with what he was saying. You know, that he was asked about play calling and whether he would take over play calling responsibilities, and he responded that play calling was good yesterday. And he's right. You know, they had plays that were there to be made, and they weren't made. And Trevor Lawrence in particular missed a couple of really big throws that would have changed the outcome of that game. And Peterson kind of said that, right? He didn't name names. He didn't call out Trevor Lawrence individually. But that's kind of the point he was making. The problem is that still comes down to coaching. You know, you're stuck with Trevor Lawrence. You gave him the big contract. You anointed him as the guy. So if he's playing terribly, that ultimately comes down on you to figure out why and fix it. So it might not be play calling. That might not be the problem. But it is, however, your responsibility to figure out what the problem is and get it right, because right now they can't win games the way they're playing.
Sam, last one. Do you think the Chiefs are in the market to go trade for a receiver with the injury to Rashee Rice?
It's definitely possible. You know, at some point, and it may be into the playoffs, they expect to get Hollywood Brown back. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're worthy. I think they're getting better and better at unlocking what he's able to do, the rookie speedster. I think they showed yesterday they were able to get him free releases off the line more than they were earlier a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know that they'll necessarily do it. I'm sure they'll be looking. I'm sure they'll be kicking the tires on a few people. I know Amari Cooper's deal in Cleveland just got made extremely team-friendly to take on board with what they've done to his contract. So maybe that's an obvious solution. But I think they can also get by for the season without adding one and maybe rely on Hollywood Brown coming back once they hit January.
There it is. Sam Munson, find the podcast at the 33rd team. It's Check the Mic. It is must listen. It's doing well. Thank you, Sam. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Take it easy.
You got it, Sam Munson. A really good insider we get. Mets just won 8-7. Mets have advanced to the wild card. So the Mets just won. But here's what makes this unique. It's a doubleheader. They have a doubleheader. If they win game two, Atlanta's eliminated and the Diamondbacks get in. Now, why wouldn't they want to win game two? They have nothing to gain by winning game two. So the Mets could rest their starters in game two, lose to Atlanta, and Atlanta would get in. Or the Mets could bury Atlanta, their rival, and sweep them. What do you think they're going to do, Bobby? This is a very unique question. You're a big baseball guy. They're in. They got to travel. They got to play tomorrow. So you got a lot of starters who just played a dramatic 8-7 game, took them right to the level of exhaustion. Do you play those starters in game two when you don't need to?
No. Why would you?
Well, because you get to eliminate Atlanta in their ballpark, and there's got to be something to that that's interesting. And it would take the National League team that went to the World Series, the Diamondbacks, let them in.
Okay, hypothetically, who would you rather face, Atlanta or Arizona?
Yeah, well, going forward here now, the Mets with the Padres, with what we're going to see with Milwaukee going forward, my gut feeling says Atlanta's going to win game two because Atlanta has to win game two.
Right.
So they're going to do everything they can to manage that game to win game two, and the Mets don't have to. Mets could go play the first four innings and go, let's see if we can get lucky and win. And if they're not, they could just tell everybody to get out. We're getting on a plane, and we're going to play in the playoffs.
I think they'd rather see the Diamondbacks in the playoffs because you want to get the Braves just right out of there.
Yeah, well,
you can't trust that team in the playoffs. They can get hot.
Yeah, and we'll see this. Now the Mets have advanced. I know a lot of Met fans, and they're very happy right now. Thanks again to Sam Munson, who just joined us. So, as I got to remind everybody on Monday, I clear out the guests. I do two, so you can call in after the game, the win or the loss. Raiders won. So, it's much easier to get angry Raider fans to call in when they lose than happy Raider fans when they win. So we should have a lot of fun the rest of the show. 40 minutes to go, 702-365-9200 if you want to get in. You know, the Black Hole is the home to football's most notorious fans. They got 40 chapters worldwide. So if you're a diehard Raider fan, this is your home. New members will receive $20 off anything purchased on the website, member hotel discounts, access to member-only merchandise. Be the first to know about all the upcoming events. All memberships are now lifetime memberships. Once a member, always a member. So if you bleed silver and black and want to belong to one of the most passionate fan clubs in all of sports, look no further. Visit theblackhole.com today. That's theblackhole.com. I went to their tailgate very briefly because I was had to get in the building, and it was popping over at Whiskey Stadium, and they're doing the March to Victory, and the super fans are on the cover of the game day program. I mean, the Black Hole has done an unbelievable job to market this club and get it rolling here. 702-365-9200. I got three more hours tonight. We interviewed Rich Gannon this morning, Eric Allen and ourselves. And Rich was at the game at the Torch with us, watched the game in the stands, then flew back home, back east, and we interviewed him today. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he got home, what time the flight was. Just nuts. And I also talked to Andrew Siciliano, the voice of the Browns last night. We're old friends, go back a long way. So I met him in the booth, and get this. He called the Ohio State game in Columbus. So he called the college game. Then in the morning, he got on a flight to Vegas. If the flight's delayed or canceled, he's out. And he made it in time. And Lincoln Kennedy travels like a madman and goes and does a college game on Saturday and gets to a pro game on Sunday. Some of these guys really travel, man. They travel and they do their best to entertain you. We want to thank the DeCastaverde Law Group. As I got to the stadium yesterday, they have two billboards outside of Allegiant Stadium. Man, don't give up those billboards. Yesterday, with that many fans there, Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde, their law firm is based on the legacy of their father. They got an unbelievable law group there. If you get into an accident and are injured, you need good attorneys. You see it all over town, but these are humble men who are doing it, their family, la familia. Give them a call. Put them in your phone. If you do get into an accident, you're injured, stop everything, get safe, get to the side of the road, and don't talk to anybody. Talk to the DeCastaverde Law Group right then, 702-222-9999. The Mets advance 8-7. So they are going to the wild card. Atlanta needs to win game two if they're going to get in. That's going to be exciting tonight. Love being on the radio Monday. We got a wild card game on the line and two Monday night football games. Let's get you up here the rest of the way. If you went to the game Sunday, I want to hear from you. Tell Bobby you went to the game. We'll move you to the front of the line. 702-365-9200. Raiders are 2-2. That's not great, but it's really good.
Deshaun Watson, the shotgun, play action, he pumps out to the right, he settles, he's looking for a deep shot, he fires over the middle, it's bobbled by Cooper, and picked off by the Raiders, Merrick has it, and he's brought down at the 48-yard line, Watson threw a bullet, and Cooper batted it up into the air, right into the waiting arms of Trayvon Merrick.
Jason Horowitz on the call, that was a big play, you know, Cooper catches that, could be the difference in the game, but he didn't. And that's what football is all about. After you win, there was a big hold on Cleveland on a Cooper touchdown, length of the field. They called it back. Thank God. Thank God. That would have been a disaster. The fumble by Zeus that turned it over, scoop and score. There are a lot of plays that could have went against the Raiders at the end. I'm just disappointed a little bit on the fact that the Raiders had the lead and couldn't put it away. That they had a significant lead and they let Cleveland back in, and Cleveland could have won the game with a late touchdown, and they put themselves in a position to win. Now, the defense came through, and we appreciate that. And that's what's the positives about this. But the Raiders have not played good football the entire year. The Raiders have not played good football the entire season other than the fourth quarter in Baltimore. There were obviously a couple big plays in the Cleveland game, no doubt, and defensive stops. But where's the first, second, third, fourth quarter in a game, all four of the quarters the Raiders play well? Well, let's say they do that in the next game at Denver and they have a convincing win. Then they'll have a victory after a victory instead of going win, loss, win, loss, win, loss and doing that. They got to get out of that. They have to get out of that in a big way. Hey, we always talk to you about Resorts World. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Janet Jackson has announced her all-new Las Vegas residency at the Resorts World Theater. Premier theater in town, brand new. It's fantastic. Carrie Underwood, all the great shows that we've seen there in the past. But this is going to be special because she is that great. You get to see Janet Jackson. It launches New Year's week. Tickets to all 10 performances are now available at AXS.com. My wife's raging about this, raving about it. She can't wait to go with her friends to get a chance to see Janet Jackson at Resorts World in the theater. And remember, Doghouse Saloon at Resorts World is our home for Monday night football and Thursday night football. So you got two games tonight. They have the best views to watch the game, a sports book on site to place your bets, incredible food, and they have drink specials. So if you're looking for a new hangout for Monday Night Football, it's an old hangout for us. That's why we go back. We invite our friends there and send them there. Go to Resorts World. Doghouse Saloon is the place to go for Monday Night and Thursday Night Football. If you went to the game, you go to the front of the line. Here's Joe in Vegas on 920. Hello, Joe.
Hey, JT. I took my wife. We're both of us got two tickets. I bought the ticket next to me because the guy had to work. I took my daughter. We had a good time. We stayed all the way to the last minute, right to the last play and stuff. It was a good time. Disappointed. I was really disappointed that Bowers didn't get enough. I still don't think he's getting enough catches. He's not targeted that much. He's constantly in and out. I don't know why he's not on the field for all, like, three downs, you know, and stuff. I don't understand that, you know what I mean? But I'm with you on Minshew. He needs to start proving more, you know what I mean? It was an ugly win, but it's a win. I'd rather have a win. And it was like I felt I was at a hunting convention there with all the orange.
Yeah, there were a lot of fans there. We know what that's going to be. I don't fight that anymore. Just sell your tickets to Raider fans. Thanks for the call. And those fans wanted to come in, and they were devastated. Brock Bowers had two receptions for 19 yards. He was only targeted three times. And he had a drop, right? So he had the two receptions. One was an obvious drop. So you got to ask yourself, why didn't he get more targets? And it's simple, because they don't pick up enough first downs. It's been the story of the entire season, all the three and outs and the problems they have on third down. Once they get better at that, then the Raiders will have four or five opportunities to throw it to Brock Bowers on a drive, on one drive in general. And that's what I want to see a little bit more of. When I got the team stats last night before the postgame show that I hosted, the first thing I looked at was third down efficiency. The Raiders were 4 of 12. Cleveland was 3 of 10. That means you watched a bad football game. We're happy the Raiders won, and we're giving the Raiders flowers. But you're talking about two teams that played a football game, and they were 7 of 22 combined on third down. No, you know, come on. You got to be more efficient. You got to be more efficient when it comes to that. Raiders had 17 first downs to Cleveland 16. So I'm just looking at the whole thing going, if the Raiders can just clean up third down, do you know the Raiders, Bobby, threw for the entire game, if this is right, 116 yards passing. Okay, so they play a football game. Gardner Minshew, if you take a look at the plays that went backwards, he threw for 130 yards in the game. So I go to the recap of the game, and then I break down the team stats. Part of my job afterwards to look at these numbers quickly as I'm live on the air and try to go through the stats and say, what is the team doing right and what is the team doing wrong? And when I say that the Raiders had 116 net yards passing with a bunch of adults playing football, not high school. This ain't high school. It's not Coronado versus Liberty. It's the NFL with an NFL quarterback, Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, DJ Turner, and the Raiders come out of that game 4 of 12 on third down, 55 total plays, only 55 total plays, 11 drives, and they pass the ball for 116 yards, and ready for this, only complete 14 balls on the day? Deshaun Watson on the first drive completed 10, or 8 of 8. And we don't compete and complete enough passes. We don't. And we have Devontae Adams. So Luke Getsy, who I'm pulling for, great guy. I think all these guys are great. And you're nuts because you'd think I'm crazy to say that. I could care less. All of them are great guys. I meet them all. Some guys aren't back. Mick Lombardi was here. He was the offensive guy. Good guy. Meet him in the hallway. Great conversations. How's your wife? How's your family? How's your dad? All of that. Good guys. You get evaluated by how your offense produces. This offense doesn't produce. Doesn't. So it's got to get better. And they're 2-2. Why do you think I was clamoring for 2-2? Get to 2-2, and then maybe Getsy goes, deep breath, Give the players a day off. Get Devontae back healthy. Figure it out. You got Jackson Powers Johnson playing. He's going to play every play now. You feel good. You feel better. Oh, and you ran the ball. They were able to run the ball for 152 yards. Maybe that'll open up the passing game. All of that's very important. So you got to hope that this happens. You got to hope that it happens soon because it's taken the first quarter of the season. And I'm not going to say the offense is dead on arrival. It's not dead. We've seen enough good plays this year. You know, Gardner Minshew after week two was what, first in the league? He was first in the league in completion percentage. That was okay. I thought that was something to build on. And by middle of this week, depending on your phone calls and what you say, I'm good making a quarterback change. Right now, I'm good. And if they don't make the quarterback change, I'm good. You might say, JT, what kind of opinion is that? Well, it's what do you think the opinion is? I'm good with Aiden right now. You want to go with Aiden today? I'm good with that. I think that Minshew hasn't lost the job, but he's pretty close to losing it. And if you want to go with Minshew one more game, I just gave him one more game against Cleveland. He didn't play well. So you want to give him one more? You want to give him another one more game? Go ahead. But if he doesn't play well and beat Brock, Bo Nix, who threw for 60 yards, then we're going to make a quarterback change most likely, and Aiden will have the job the rest of the year. And if their record's 2-3 and Aiden takes over and leads them to the playoffs, guess what? We won't need a quarterback in the draft. We'll have Aiden O'Connell. He took over the team at 2-3, and he led the team to the playoffs. Aiden O'Connell keeps his job. If Gardner Minshew plays better in this game and goes to 3-2, which I'm hoping happens, what I think is going to happen is he's not going to get benched. If he wins, he goes to 3-2, has a breakout game, and then you let him play the Pittsburgh game and maybe the Kansas City game at 3-3 going into that. So there's a lot on the line here for Gardner Minshew, and I don't think he played well in this last game, and I think he needs to play better. And that's fair, honest analysis. For those who think, you know, I'm paid by the team, I apologize that they pay me. I'll donate my salary to you. I'll give it to you and pay your rent in your house, and I'll give up my salary, and I'll just take my radio salary from Lotus. Yeah, we'll do that. Shields Up is in Connecticut. Hello, thanks for calling.
Thank you, JT. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Great win yesterday. The defense came through, and I'm on board with you. I'm done with Minshew. I've watched the game 2-3 times. He overthrew Jacoby Myers on the sideline. He threw a couple in the dirt. Terrible. His accuracy is way off. There's no escapability that I've seen that we paid for. I'm all down with AOC, but again, this is a day of victory. This is a day of celebration. And as we go down during the week, we'll get our, you know, the opinions in.
Yeah, but you're probably all right, Shields Up, if Minshew plays again. If Minshew came out of the game very healthy, from what I can tell, and proves to the coaches that he won a gritty, gutty game, if he plays in Denver and plays well, he could save his job long term. I'm interested in that topic.
Yeah, no, I understand, especially, I mean, it's a blessing. This right side, if it is solidified, I know it's still, you know, early. Those two young guys, if they're stalwarts and end up being on that right side, then our running game will get better and progress. And I think just the missing element is the quarterback. Give them one more shot, but this is a very pivotal game, JT. Mm. Denver, it's a division game. It's a tough call to make, and I wouldn't want to be that person, man. And thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Shields Up. Thank you. It is a tough thing. That's one of the cool things about being in sports radio. There's some tough decisions that need to be made. I think that Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville should be benched. Do you understand that Jaden Daniels is having the best 4-game streak ever since 2008 Peyton Manning? Not the first 4 as a rookie, Bobby. The first 4 ever. So what the hell? Jaden Daniels was supposed to be the Raiders quarterback if the Raiders could get him. He wasn't available. Wasn't. Three first-round picks. I never talked to Tom Telesco about it in detail. But assuming they wanted him, they weren't going to give up 4 first-round picks because Washington wasn't going to trade him for 3.
Well, obviously, they weren't going to get him with the number 2 pick in the draft. But what you do is you sit back, you wait, and you take him in free agency after a couple of years.
Well, that's the point, but I don't think Washington will let him go in free agency, and they can franchise tag him. The big thing for you with the Patriots is when do you play Drake May? because now you're supposed to play Drake May. But I think the Patriots are doing a really good job of protecting May because they have a poor offensive line. And they're saying no. So that's a smart move by the Patriots, letting Jacoby Brissett get more snaps. But Drake May sitting there, he got drafted to play, and they're not letting him play.
That's okay. He can sit. He can learn. We're going to get to him.
Yeah, but you're right.
They saw what they did last year with Mac Jones. They're not going to make the same mistake twice.
You're right. You don't want to ruin a guy because you put him in too early and the offensive line can't protect him. And this offensive line for the Raiders was doing Gardner Minshew no favors until this last game, and I think they played much better. I really do. We've been telling you about Tequila Commissario. When the Raiders win, the Raider Nation toasts Tequila Commissario. It's the most awarded tequila. It's incredible. And they're now a proud partner of the Raiders. Coming off this win and the coach's interview, you immediately notice its beautiful packaging, and just after one sip, you'll experience how smooth it is. It's the Ferrari of tequila, the single highest quality, 100% all-natural, handcrafted tequilas. The Reserve is the best I've ever had. I'm seeing around town more and more. You got to ask for Tequila Commissario. When I talk about this with Gavin Maloof and the growth of this company and their service and their packaging and how they deal with their customers and clients, it's fantastic. Really proud to represent them along with Raider Nation Radio. Tequila Commissario, a proud partner of our show. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show in the next 20 minutes. If you went to the game, we move you to the front of the line. If you want to get into Denver, we're going to start that tomorrow. We're going to get into that tomorrow. Tonight, I got a bunch of good guests on my show over at Wynn Vegas. Driving to the Strip's been a little bit tougher lately, man. There's a lot going on. Cones are out. Shut down the 15. Had to take a different way to the stadium. Let's go, Vegas. We're not a traffic town. Clean it up.
Raiders need one play, and everyone in this building knows that's what they need.
There's a ball game.
Watson's in the gun out of the timeout.
They got to get right. They're not right. Their coverage is, well, not a better.
They bring Cooper to the left. There's the snap. Watson pumps. He's under pressure. He's rolling out to the left. Raiders giving chase.
Ball's out.
There's a sack. Oh. It's Charles Snowden with the sack and the biggest play of the day. Charles Snowden off the edge. Back-to-back plays and the Raiders defense with 34 seconds left.
Great call on that. And Lincoln, if you caught that, Lincoln said in the beginning of it, they're in the wrong coverage. And they were. So I went back and looked at the tape, and Deshaun Watson, right when he said hike, had a wide open receiver heading towards the corner of the end zone, and he missed him. And all he should have did is let the ball go. And I think Cleveland wins with the touchdown there. He held the ball, tried to run with it, and the rest is history. So look, he played okay, Deshaun Watson. We had Sam Munson on who said he played his best game as a Brown and the Raiders were able to win. But he was a mess overall. Butler, I want to get to Butler and his performance in the game. He played outstanding in the interior.
Joins Moore on the left side. Watson's under center. Raiders come with a blitz. Watson gives it to the back and Ford is met in the backfield. So that's a play. Adam Butler hit him in the shield back at the 47-yard line.
I thought that Adam Butler had a great game. Everyone's given Snowden his flowers, rightfully so, but I thought Butler had the game. He was unbelievable. He had six tackles. Let me double-check here the number. Four tackles were solo. He just was everywhere. He was flying all around. The Tucker touchdown run, here's a receiver making a run, getting in the end zone.
Minshew out of the gun. He sends Bowers in motion to the right. Third and goal. Shotgun snap, hand off to White. They run a reverse to the near side. Tucker, he's got space at the five. Finds the corner. Touchdown, Raiders! Trey Tucker on the reverse to the left side. Beat the Browns to the corner. And the Raiders cap off a drive with a three-yard touchdown. And they're back in it, baby.
Now, that is an excellent call again by Jason. And the fact that they're showing a wrinkle now that other teams are going to have to look at. Other teams are going to have to look and say, wow, the Raiders are running these jet sweeps and reverses. We got to prepare for that, and that could open up something else in the passing game. Let's give it up to Daniel Carlson. These 50-yard kicks, this is a 52-yarder. They're not automatic for everybody here, but he was able to get it through.
This will be from 52 on the right hash. Carlson trying to tie the game late here in the second quarter. Good snap. Hold is down. Kick is up. And it is right down Broadway.
He had a nice game. Awesome game for him. Inside, indoors, at home at Allegiant Stadium. He needs to be automatic. And Trayvon Merrick, this interception we played earlier in the show, Amari Cooper deflected off of him, but Merrick didn't drop it. He made a play. He had to.
Deshaun Watson, the shotgun. Play action. He pumps out to the right. He settles. He's looking for a deep shot. He fires over the middle. It's bobbled by Cooper and picked off by the Raiders. Merrick has it, and he's brought down at the 48-yard line. Watson threw a bullet, and Cooper batted it up into the air, right into the waiting arms of Trayvon Merrick.
I had to make that play. That was a huge play. It took all the momentum away from those Cleveland fans that showed up in full force. And then DJ Turner, guy who needed to step up, and he did beautifully in for Devontae Adams. He increased his playing time up the depth chart.
They keep him in the backfield. They run a jet sweep to DJ Turner through the left side. Breaks the tackle, 15. Turner is shimmy at the 10, the 5, the dive, touchdown! DJ Turner with his first career touchdown, and it's on an 18-yard wide receiver run. And the Raiders take a 19-10 lead with 5:23 to go in the third.
All right, they're up 20-10. 20-10. They're down 10-0. Now they're up 20-10. Game's got to be over at this point. You cannot let Cleveland back in the game, and they did on the Zamir White fumble.
Minshew the snap, running play to the right, and he's hitting the backfield. The ball's out. And it's recovered by Cleveland, racing down the near sideline. The Browns heading to the end zone. Touchdown, Cleveland. Rodney McLeod Jr., the backup safety, scooped up the fumble, running down the sideline, and disaster for the Raiders on the opening play of the fourth quarter.
Brutal. Right there was brutal. I know everybody was at the game or watching on TV, but it's different at the game. It's different. You could hear the energy come out of the building from Raider Nation and Cleveland getting right back in that game. And then in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, Ford makes a long run, which put Cleveland in a position to win the game.
Raiders today have outgained the Browns on the ground, 153-57. Watson has 32 of those. Shotgun gives it to Ford. Starts right, comes back to the left. He fights through the 50, 45, 40. There goes Ford. 30 near sideline, 20. He lowers the shoulder into Merrick, and he's got a first down at the Raiders 16 on a pickup of 34 yards.
Many Raider fans at that point, I was not one of them. I was not one of them, but many thought the game was over there. That was it. It was just too big of a play. Deshaun Watson's too close to the end zone. They're going to win that game. And then the Raiders had to decide who was going to make a play. A couple of the guys did it on the defensive line, including Snowden.
Raiders need one play, and everyone in this building knows that's what they need.
There's a ball game.
Watson's in the gun out of the timeout.
They got to get it right. They're not right. They're not right. Their coverage is, well, not a better.
They bring Cooper to the left. There's the snap. Watson pumps. He's under pressure. He's rolling out to the left. Raiders giving chase.
Balls
and
out. Balls
the
out.
Sack. Nope. It's Charles Snowden with the sack and the biggest play of the day. Charles Snowden off the edge. Back-to-back plays. And the Raiders defense with 34 seconds left.
That was the play of the game. We wanted to play that one more time. Absolutely incredible. Great call by Jason Horowitz and Lincoln Kennedy. Antonio Pierce's post-game speech in the locker room.
Johnson, give us a goddamn Raider say. Raider! Raider! Hey, man, hey. Hey, hell of a job, man. Way to battle all the way to the end. We talked about the halftime. Didn't start the way we wanted. Not even matter, man. You guys just chipped away, man. Huge credit to you, honestly. Players, coaches this week, man, it was you guys handled that, man. We did good. By Friday, we started smiling. By Saturday, we smiling more. And now we're doing what we do on right? Just remember, though, man, it takes everybody in this room. Every coach, every trainer, every support staff, everybody, man, to get wins. It's hard. It's hard when it looks easy. It's hard. But I told y'all I had a promise for you. See y'all Wednesday as well.
Hey, hell of a win, boys. That's the way to bounce back, man. Good, good fight by everybody, man. Love y'all, boys. Raiders on three. One, two, three.
That was Christian Wilkins at the end who put the exclamation point on that, which was fantastic. So all of that came together for the Raiders. Did they win the Super Bowl? No. Is it the end of the world? No. But they had to get to 2-2, and they were able to do that. And they did it in a big way, and I'm very impressed because the game could have went sideways on them. When a game goes sideways on a football team, you know it. And it felt like that game was going sideways, and someone had to step up and save the day, and Snowden was able to do that. As we go around the rest of the league and some of the plays that we saw, and there were a few of them that were there that were really important. Yeah, I thought, I looked at Sam Darnold. He found Jefferson again. Sam Darnold, they had a big lead against the Packers, and Darnold provided that lead, which was big enough for them to come in and make big plays. I was very impressed with Sam Darnold. I think he's the MVP of the league. It was going to be Derek Carr earlier in the season, but now Darnold surpassed him.
First and goal from the 14. Darnold out of the shotgun puts Jefferson in motion to the right. He'll go that way to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Are you kidding me with that catch?
Justin Jefferson with a 14-yard touchdown grab. And the Minnesota Vikings lead the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field 27-0 with 5:28 to go in the first half.
27-0, and they almost blew that game. 27-0 is the lead that they had in that game. That was a rout, and they won 31-29. Ooh, reminded me of that Alabama-Georgia game. How good was that Alabama-Georgia game? Alabama had a 28-0 lead, and Georgia came all the way back. I want to get to Jaden Daniels and the game that he had, finding McLaurin, and the way the Commanders played in this game. They were exceptional. This four-game stretch is one of the greatest runs ever in the history of the league.
He's out to the right, two wide receivers to the left. Here's the snap. Arizona breaks four. Plenty of time for Jaden. Throws over to the middle, into the end zone. That is caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Terry McLaurin, back-to-back weeks for a score in the fourth!
That's Commanders radio on the call. Now, Aaron Rodgers, after his game, was chippy, because Robert Saleh, who's the head coach, went first. He made his initial comments about the fact that they jumped off sides. Jumped off sides because of Aaron Rodgers' cadence and his ability to try to get a free play and get people to jump off sides. Well, Rodgers heard about that at the podium in his press conference, and he went right back at his coach.
The cadence specifically, Robert said, that might be something you guys have to dial back a little bit. Is that something you think could potentially help the situation?
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, it seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
That relationship is on the brink now. So Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh, that's fraying in a bad way. It's fraying terribly. And the New York media is going to pounce all over it. And one very unfortunate injury, Patrick Mahomes threw an interception. And on the return from the Chargers, Mahomes tried to make a tackle, and he collided with Rashee Rice and blew out his knee. And it looks like his best receiver is going to be gone.
Corner made a good play. I was trying to fire it to Trav on his body. I overthrew him a little bit. Turned the ball over, and then I thought Rashee really made a good play. I was trying to tackle the guy, and if I just don't turn the ball over, that never happens. So you just got to try to get better at that.
Man, that's hard. How hard is that to be an athlete and make a turnover, which Mahomes admitted, and then cause the injury to your teammate because you created a turnover? That's hard. That's what professional sports is all about. I want to end the show on the passing of two people. First off, Kris Kristofferson passed away, who was a tremendous overall entertainer. He was a great actor. He was a performer. His best friend was Willie Nelson. A lot of country hits. And he was a studio guy, and he just connected with the band and Neil Young and so many other artists who are out there. So if you know country music or rock and roll or the history of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Kris Kristofferson, the actor who's been in plays and movies and a tremendous performer, passed away. And then we woke up today to find out that Dikembe Mutombo died of brain cancer at the young age of 58 years old. He's a Hall of Famer. He was fantastic as a defensive player. He died of brain cancer at the age of 58. The NBA announced that earlier today. His family revealed 2 years ago that he was undergoing treatment in Atlanta for a brain tumor, and the NBA said he was surrounded by his family. I think his legacy is going to be what he did philanthropy-wise and the hospitals that he built in Africa and most of his net worth that he donated to Africa, where he's from, and hunger and the issues that people had. Imagine being a multi-millionaire, 18 seasons in the league, 7-2 out of Georgetown, and being known for building hospitals, wells, trying to protect people. He had a massive legacy, really good legacy. He was a very good defensive player, limited offensively, but he had his moments scoring. But I think what he did off the court is his legacy, and that's what you want to be defined by. Dikembe Mutombo, rest in peace. We're underway in game two of the doubleheader. Atlanta gets out of the top of the first, so the Mets have advanced to the wild card. Atlanta needs to win game two of the doubleheader, or they're out, and the Diamondbacks get in. Reportedly, the Diamondbacks are watching the game as we speak at some establishment in that Phoenix area. They are packed to leave. They have packed their clothes to leave if the Mets win this game. If not, they go back to their lockers, unpack, and their season's over. That's a hell of a story. Q's got a big show. He's coming up next. You don't want to miss that ever. He was there. He was in the locker room interviewing, talking to the coach today. He'll give you his analysis of the Raider victory and our flagship station celebrating the victory today. Thanks to Harry Ruiz and Sam Munson. I'm heading down to Wynn Resort to do my 4-7 show. Monday feels like a Friday, man, in a lot of ways, and I'm nowhere near there yet. Long day today, but I love talking sports. I love talking to you and all of our proud partners. Thanks, Bobby. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.